I'm just going to take a couple of moments. I don't know how you all feel after yesterday's. I mean, sometimes after a big event, you're still buzzing the next morning, you know. Or sometimes after a big event, you're just kind of like that. And I'm sure we've all had those kind of experiences, you know, where you've had a huge high or, in fact, a huge low, and then the day after is interesting, put it that way, you know. So I just thought today, life works with Jesus, even in the morning after the day before. I didn't want to call it the night before, because I thought that would be too seedy. And so I'm just going to read you a couple of things, just one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 14, just to start with, if you want to have a look at there. And this is a moment where Abraham, as he was called then, experienced a great victory, and then the day after. So I'll read you that. I'll give you the background. So Abraham, there was this, it's interesting how all this comes together. If you like history, children, you know, that there's all these, like Abigail's been, and Ella's been doing history, and how the First World War started because, what was it, Serbia got annoyed with, anyway, and then Russia joined in, and then Germany joined in, and everyone just starts forming alliances. Well, it's all happening here. There's four kings and five kings, and they've got alliances, and there's this kind of big fight that happens. And then this man called Lot, who is Abraham's cousin, he gets taken away into captivity. James is gripped. Yes, it was that. You know, it's kind of, oh my word, what's going to happen? So Abraham, he goes out, and he goes to try and rescue Lot. And it says, in verse 15, it says, during the night, Abraham divided his men. You getting this? Yeah, the armies, his troops are being divided to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abraham returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivers your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods yourself. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, with raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and the earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you may never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and share that belongs to me, the men who are with me. To Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them have their share. And here's the interesting bit. This is the morning after now. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. And then he goes on, and because Abraham's like, here I am, just a man, and I've got no one to inherit my inheritance. And then God takes him out, and he says, look at the stars of the sky. Your descendants will be the stars of the sky. So here's the thing. Abraham, just forgive me if you're being biblically correct here. It's Abraham who became Abraham. He has this great victory. He defeats these kings, and he gets Lot, and he gets all his possessions back. He gets all the spoils of war. He brings it back, and it's victorious. That would have been a kind of victory in Europe day, you know, celebration. Let's, you know, get the jazz band out and let's celebrate, you know, that kind of thing. And on the way back, he meets this guy called Melchizedek, who's, if you know Hebrews, and later, and this is this mysterious character who is a king and a priest to the God Most High. Well, I'll leave you thinking about who that could be, all right? He meets him, and he brings bread and wine to him, which is just an incredible thing, and I could spend all morning talking about that, which I'm not going to, okay? And he has this encounter with Melchizedek. So not only has he had this great victory, he's also met Jesus in some kind of way. Okay? And then, actually, the king of Sodom kind of puts a bit of a damper on things. But then the next morning, God says to him something interesting. He says, do not be afraid. Now here's Abraham. He's just kicked everyone's backside that the night before, the day before. He's just met this incredible king and been blessed by him. How was he feeling the next day that God had to say to him, "Do not be afraid"? I'm guessing he probably felt bound. You know, you've been in those places where this is great, you know, this is all amazing, and then the next day you suddenly realize actually it's Monday morning and you've got to get on with life. And actually, Abraham, for some reason, there was fear in him. There was that kind of, I'm guessing maybe he just thought, well, I've got all this, but I'm still just me. Just little old me. And God comes to him and says, "Abraham, do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your reward." You can go to battle. You can win the greatest victories. But as we sung in Be Thou My Vision, it says, I can't remember the second last verse, I can't remember the line, but it speaks of actually when we win Jesus, when we find Jesus, when we realize that he is our reward, that's when we win. That's when the victory, that's where, and that's, but it takes God to come to us and say, look, you've done all this, but now you're feeling like this. Don't forget, I am your reward. And what God does is he's in this, he's actually bringing us all back into this idea that we're in a bigger story. This one victory was just a one day. Tomorrow may be a defeat, the next day may be a victory. You may have three more victories and have two defeats that week. But God says, I am putting you back in this big story, because he reminds him, there's stars of the sky. That's how big this vision is, this part of the story you're playing, Abraham. And you know the end of the story. Abraham has one son at the end of it, and no land, you know, or a little burial plot where he's buried Sarah is about all he owns in the world. But God is saying to him, don't forget, you're part of the big story. You're part of this massive story. You're part of what I'm doing. And I am your reward. So don't forget that. So, let's turn now to Luke chapter 24. Similar kind of thing in a way. And this is after Jesus has died, been killed by the Romans, and then he's risen, and we find in verse 13, two disciples having a bit of a hard time with it all. This really is the sort of, if Abraham's situation was after a great victory, this is the morning after a great sort of disappointment. Okay? Because, we'll read it, but they were expecting something and it didn't turn out the way they expected. So here are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says, now that same day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked and discussed these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as Jesus had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things, then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us, while we talked with us on the road, and opened the scriptures to us? So here's the situation here. You've got some men. And the key thing is here, in verse 21. But we had hoped. They saw Jesus. They'd been hanging around with Jesus. They'd seen the miracles. They'd heard the teaching. And they had in their mind a hope. They had hoped he was going to save them from the Romans. Not a bad hope. And so they had that hope, and they were clinging on to that, and they were thinking, this is the guy. This is the guy. He's doing all this stuff. This must be the guy. We hope he's going to do this. And then it doesn't happen. Now, I want us to pray for Daniel later, because he had hoped, and I'm sure we have a prayer. Let us pray for all of us. We had hoped we had built this an evening for cat clients. None of them came. We had hoped that not only they would come last night, but some of them would meet Jesus and give their lives to the Lord. We had hoped that. And I think it's okay to say we had hoped this. This is our desire. And the morning after, I don't know how Daniel's feeling. I know the spectrum last night. He was a little bit disappointed, to say the least. And I'm sure whilst the evening was a great success, and whilst we did have visitors and they heard the gospel, our hope was this was going to be a cap evening. We even got a cap speaker. That was our hope. And in this story, that's where they were hoping, and they're walking on the road, and Jesus comes to them. And Jesus comes to them, and he opens the scriptures, and he starts talking again about a much bigger story, doesn't he? You thought you had this little thing going on. You had hoped I would do this. But there is a much bigger story. And going right back to the beginning, he starts talking to them from the law, which is that bit. And then from the prophets, which is that bit. So the whole of the Bible, he starts speaking to his disciples. And he starts revealing. He says, well, the Son of Man must suffer. You've got to read this and understand it. I had to suffer. And he's bringing this all out to them. And actually, they still didn't get it. And then they get to the place where they're going, and he, interestingly again, he breaks bread. He breaks bread. And then their eyes were open to realize that this is what this is talking about. This Jesus is what this big story is about. All of this. It's not just about one event where we had hoped. Because if the Romans had gotten kicked out of Israel, that would have been one event in history. You'd read it in a history book in AD 33, maybe. The Romans got kicked out, and we'd move on to AD 34, and something else happened. But actually, Jesus is saying, this is about all of this. If you have me, then you are getting the whole big picture. Does that make sense? And so actually, when we break bread and we take this bread, you know, we realize we're part of Jesus and we're in God's family, and we're part of this. We tend to think that, I don't know any about you, I tend to think of it in terms of we're part of a person of Jesus. But then when you see Jesus, he's talking that actually we're part of a story of Jesus as well. We are part of Jesus, but this big, big story that goes right back to the law and the prophets, Jesus says, okay, you had hoped that, but let me bring you into a bigger thing, which is me. And that I have a plan that spans the whole of history. So if you're feeling a bit down, hey ho. Turn around and walk in the other direction, because there's a bigger picture here. There's another day, and there's a bigger picture, because that other the next day is a continuation of this big story that we're all in. So I just found it. There was other instances I thought of Elijah when he was down. You know, the ravens brought bread to him. You know, I was thinking of Peter after he'd failed, and the morning after. You know, and Jesus was resurrected, and what does Jesus say? Well, come and eat some breakfast with me. In all of these things, Jesus always seems to minister bread to the people, because there's that kind of bringing in, saying, you're part of a bigger thing. You're part of a bigger me. So the day yesterday, whatever happened yesterday, whether it was good or bad, just remember, keep your focus, because you may feel terrible today. It may have been a complete dismal and utter disappointment or failure yesterday, or it may have been a great victory, and even if it was, you're probably feeling a bit down now, because that's just how it is. I can tell you about playing for the Queen, how I felt the day after, you know. You know, because there's that kind of, at some point, you just think, well, that happened yesterday, and today I'm just me. And little old me is pretty. But Jesus says, No, you're part of me. And when we have, when God says you, when he says of himself, I am your reward, that's all we need. Is that okay? Yeah? So we're going to take communion together this morning, and we're going to know and meet with Jesus in that, okay? And as, and then after that, I'd just like to pray. We can pray for one another. And hands up who's still feeling elated about yesterday. We're still in a buzz. He's allowed to be. Yet Wendy's on a good... It is, yeah. So there's different perspectives, and that's one perspective, and it's good to hear that. But can I just, let's be honest, who's not feeling quite so upbeat about it? I'm sorry, you guys weren't here. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. And these guys, because they're living cap, okay? And I just want you to know that you're part of us, and we're part of this big story, and we want to pray for them. Anyone else? I mean, I don't know how Emma's feeling, because she's put an awful lot into it as well. But we'll spend some time praying for one another afterwards, particularly if you're on an up, you can pray for people on it then. Let's come gather together, and we'll come and break bread together.